Birth, Chapter 16. He couldn't sleep. The events of that afternoon were making him mad. The man walking up and down the hall had not shown up in a while. He felt he could go for a walk and feel better. Besides, he hadn't spoken to his father. His duffel bag had a pouch of quarters. He opened it, took out a handful, and stuffed them into his left jeans pocket. He didn't feel like wearing his BP jumpsuit. He grabbed his shoulder bag. They were smart in putting them all the way on the fifth floor of the casino. There was only one way down, other than the stairs, and who wanted to walk 5 flights of stairs? Him, he thought. He quietly closed the door and walked away from the elevators toward the snack room. He reached the access door to the stairs and gently opened it, slipped into the stairwell, and checked the doorknob to make sure it would open to let him back onto the fifth floor. It worked. He closed the door behind him. When he reached the ground floor, he cracked open the door and peeked. There was a BP jumpsuit standing by the front desk, talking with the girl behind the counter. Slimeball, he thought. He decided to walk down another floor to the parking deck below. He opened it and peeked. No one. He checked the door to make sure he could get back in. No luck. It was blank. He looked around the stairwell and noticed a trash can. He took the swivel lid off the can and fished around a little, finding a cardstock flyer. He folded it down to a little stiff square and tore off the rest, discarding it. He opened the door again and stuffed the little square into the latch hole. He closed the door and pulled on it again. It opened without turning the handle. Perfect. He exited the stairwell and walked toward the street-level ramp. There was no one in the booth. It was about midnight. Sleepy for a little town like Gulfport. Wide awake for a casino, he thought. He reached the sidewalk and acted natural, like he was taking a stroll around town. Within 2 blocks, he started breathing normal again. He turned right and saw a Circle K store a block away. Payphone, he thought. He reached the booth in about 5 minutes and reached in his pocket for the quarters. He knew the number. It was a special number they used in games. His father used to practice these games with them when they were little boys, and they both knew that Dad wasn't always a good guy. When the oil industry was captured during OPEC, the higher-ups that worked with the American oil companies were taken out and shot. Billions in rigs, wells, and equipment was seized by Iran, Iraq, Libya, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait. They colluded and fixed the prices as though all that oil equipment belonged to them. His father had escaped with millions. They had been looking for him ever since, and they had been looking for his boys. "It's me," he said, almost bursting into tears. He knew better. His dad knew the game. "Are you all right?" asked his father in Farsi. "I am unharmed, father," he responded in kind. "Do not tell me your location. Do you have your phone?" "Yes." "In 1 hour, put in the battery for 5 minutes. 5 minutes only. Then remove it and destroy it. Get rid of it. My man will come to get you." "Dad?" But he had already hung up. The call lasted only for a minute. It was the game. He left the booth with a hole in his heart. He was trying to be strong, but he wanted to tell his dad what happened. He wanted to tell him that they were lying, that he had seen something that no one should have seen. No one could have seen that except him, he thought. They were 48 miles from shore. There were only 2 men in the world that saw these waves, and one of them was dead. He wanted to tell him. He knew then that he could not return to the hotel. He started walking north, away from the Circle K. He crossed the street and traveled perhaps 6 blocks. It was a cool Mississippi night, and the walking made him feel better. He saw a Motel 6 sign 2 blocks further up the road. No one would think a Bayezid would stay in a Motel 6, he thought. He walked into the lobby and rang the bell. The old man was courteous, but he could tell that his Middle Eastern appearance was going to bring suspicion. It always did. "How are you doing?" he said in his most California accent. "Can I get a room, please?" "License and credit card," said the old man as he placed the clipboard on the counter for him to fill out. He opened his shoulder bag and got his wallet. He placed his California license and a credit card his father had given him for emergencies on the counter in front of the old man. The names matched, so there wasn't going to be any problem there. "Hey, I don't have a car with me tonight. Is that okay?" he asked without leaving the automobile information. "I'm flying out tomorrow. Is there a shuttle?" "No shuttle," the man said. "Okay, that's cool. Room 205, around the side here and up the stairs. Sign, please." "Thank you," said Orphan, as he slid the license and card back in his wallet and zipped his shoulder bag closed. He knew that using this card would set many things in motion now. There would be movement. His father would know what to do. He climbed the stairs, noticing that his left leg was sore from the ordeal on the rig. Maybe he'd strained it. They would find his jumpsuit in his room tomorrow. He knew someone else would be searching for him as well. His card key opened the door and he went inside. "Even this bed is going to feel good tonight," he thought. He sat down and remained still on the edge of the bed for a moment. His mind was racing. He was trying to think clearly now. He unzipped the small pocket on his shoulder bag. He slipped his fingers behind the flap and felt the hidden slot. He peeled it open past the carefully sewn-in Velcro and retrieved the thin cell phone and battery. Opening the back, he slipped the battery in place and noticed the time on the hotel clock. He did not turn the cell phone on. There was no need. In 5 minutes, he would remove the battery and toss the phone in the trash in the back of the hotel. He would sleep lightly tonight.